Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord today, and we welcome you. It is never something that we should take for granted that the Lord gives us a new day of health, a new day of strength, and whatever ability that we have to come and worship Him, it is a blessed thing. And so we are happy that you're here. We want to encourage you to be settled in the Lord's house and get all things in the right position and place where you have to have them, and that we want to enjoy the fullness of today. Sometimes we pray in the words of Joshua, where he asked the Lord to cause the sun to stand still upon the day. Well, in that term of phrase, we just want to be able to not rush through. We want to enjoy what the Lord has for us. We want to enter in with all our hearts to magnify and to worship Him. That's why we're here today, and we can be thankful for that. Isaac Watts wrote so many great Christian hymns, and he oftentimes took portions of the Word of God and put them to words that we would be able to sing and worship. And so Psalm 46 he has taken, and he has written in this, O God, our help in ages past. And we're going to stand and worship the Lord with this great hymn of praise. Let's come now, please, to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we take a moment now and are still in your holy presence, I pray that the Spirit of God will give us this strength and the help necessary to worship and to pray, to read the Scriptures, and to be instructed in the ways of Christ Jesus. We pray that our Lord will be glorified today in our gathering, in this house of prayer, in this place where we have come for the purpose, the sole purpose, that we might lift up and magnify the holy name of our great God and Savior. I ask, Lord, for help today in leading the service, in everything that will be said, praying for help necessary for your servant who has come to be with us today to speak and bring the word. We ask, Lord, for every believer gathered in, for every child of God watching online, that there would be much blessing, much help, much grace given to each one to meet the need of every circumstance, every situation. Lord, we have so many varied necessities. And yet, Lord, though we sometimes don't even know the details of things that we need that will help us the best, we're thankful, Lord, we come to depend and rest upon a sovereign God who knows the end from the beginning, and everything that will be of benefit to us so that we might be advanced in our Christian walk. Lord, grant that to us abundantly. We pray for the acceleration of sanctifying grace in our life. I pray, Lord, that the world, the flesh, and the devil would not have sway in our lives. We would say, as Paul did, I die daily. And as Peter, that we might live unto righteousness and to the end everlasting life. Oh God, we are so blessed, and we give thanks today, our Father, for all we have received of the temporal and earthly blessings, of the heritage that we have, of the spiritual blessings that have been poured out to us, not just here through faith in salvation, but the anticipation of glory and of home, and that we will one day be freed from the very presence and power of sin. Lord, help us today. We give thanks for the markers of human history, the things that we have been able to see and review of your sovereign hand overruling in the councils of men and bringing to the surface those servants saved by sovereign grace and yet made use of, Lord, to forward the cause of Christ Jesus. We're thankful for reformers, for those that have been used in the great revival of the Protestant Reformation. And Lord, that and those blessings that flowed out from that time period, I pray that we will, who are still basking in the light of them, we will be thankful, Lord, and that we will be not ignorant of these blessings, but we will come often and again to give thanks and to praise and to consider deeply and not in any way, Lord, to despise. Help us, we pray, in our time, in our day, because as we are a church to be a witness in our community here and now, we would say, as it was said of Esther, that we've come to the kingdom for such a time as this. And we don't take that lightly, nor do we want to, Lord. We pray that we will be your servants at the right place, at the right time, to be useful to the extension of the kingdom of Jesus. Father, you've heard our prayers. We've been asking recently that you would make us soul winners, that you would lead us, Lord, to souls that we might share our faith with in order to lead them to a knowledge of Jesus. Father, hear our prayer today. Remember those who are set aside and need a touch upon their bodies. We pray today for Carol Conroy, facing surgery tomorrow. Lord, comfort her heart and be with her, we pray. Bless her. Remember my next door neighbor, that you would help her in the hospital at this time. Remember, O God, Rebecca Chandler in hospital. Put your hand upon her and give her healing. We pray for Leah Simman, as she is also facing surgery, that your kind hand, Lord, would be upon her to bless her and give her relief at this moment in time. And there are so many others, Lord, but as we do not know at this moment, or perhaps the needs that some are going through, Lord, pour out your grace, your mighty blessing. Revive our hearts, Lord. What do we need in our day, in our church, in this denomination? We need a mighty outpouring of the Spirit of God, Lord. We're asking for that today. Come, Lord, in our weakness, and manifest your glory and help us, for we need help. And Father, you also know that our government needs help in this land. And we pray, Lord, today for our leaders, asking that you would lead them to a knowledge of Christ as Savior, that you would rebuke them from their evil pathway and restrain them from doing things that are against your holy word. The devil seems to be having much advancing in our day. Restrain him, Lord, I pray, and help us as Christians, as followers of the Savior, to do that which is glorifying and right. Make us a powerful and a positive witness in our very community of Malvern here. Let your fear be upon this place. Lord, there are criminals and crooks and gangs running in every direction. I pray the fear of God would cripple them in their very steps. And from the most dastardly deeds that they intend to do, that grace would break through in salvation. Lord, have mercy upon our city, upon our province and our nation. And bless us. Bless all of our churches. Not only here, in the United States, our missionaries. Remember the churches in Ulster today. We think of Mark Raffelt, and we pray your blessing would be upon that congregation in the absence of their pastor. Lord, encourage them, bless them, strengthen them, and be with them in all the work that they seek to do in accomplishing and furthering the kingdom of Christ. Lord, hear our prayer today. Be with us now, bless us, encourage our hearts as we continue. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Let's sing well-known hymn number 588, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, standing to sing with all your heart. me ask you to turn, please, now in your Bibles to the book of Revelation, chapter 5, for a congregational reading. Revelation, chapter 5. We are taken up into the heavenlies in this chapter of the Word of God. We see how the Lord Jesus, the Lamb, is exalted as He is glorified. Revelation 5, verse 1. John writes, "And I saw in the right hand of Him that sat on the throne a book written within, and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?' And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look therein. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, 'Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof.' And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a Lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of Him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, 'Thou art worthy to take the book, and to open the seals thereof. For Thou wast slain, and hath redeemed us to God by Thy blood, out of every kindred, and tongue, and people, and nation, and hath made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth.' And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto Him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever.' And the four beasts said, 'Amen.' And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped Him that liveth forever and ever." What a glorious portion of God's precious Word. We sometimes speak about the mountaintops of Scripture. Well, is this not one of them? We're taken into the heavenlies, into the place of the exalted Son of God and the glory that is His, and well deserving to be so. Today, October the 31st, as our denomination and our congregation marks the anniversary of the Protestant Reformation, it is for us a very happy day. It is a day of blessing. It is a day that we reflect deeply upon the heritage that we have in the Lord Jesus, the heritage that God sovereignly has granted to us. You know, there's always a danger, isn't it, that we have or could do by bartering away our history and the blessings that we have. The Lord very specifically said to Israel that when they went into the promised land and they were going to live in houses they didn't build, they were going to live in cities that they didn't build, they were going to reap the fruit of orchards and of vineyards that they did not plant. And He said to them, when you have done all that, beware lest thou forget the Lord. Believers, there's a danger, isn't there, for us, having reflected and reviewed back on the historical events that God has brought about through His divine and sovereign grace, and there is a danger that we have become a little bit, well, familiar with them, taking them for granted. That's why it's important for us to have opportunities and seasons to remember times like this that give us the occasion to think about what the Protestant Reformation means to us and what we have received by way of blessings. And so we count them today as spiritual blessings. We've often said before, and it's worth repeating again, that any movement that takes place among sinful people, well, it's going to be somewhat tainted by sinful hands. And that is certainly true of the Protestant Reformation, because the Reformers were men, human beings. They were men of their time. They were men whom God brought out of circumstances that we ourselves have very little knowledge of. And so He brought them to the forefront of time for a purpose and a reason. And yet they were very much men with feet of clay. And so in their times of misjudgment, perhaps doctrines that were not right down the wire from where we would review and evaluate today, holding some points of view, we don't support and endorse everything the Reformers did. But apart from the men and the weakness of men, we set them apart and aside, and we will say today, thank God for the great blessings that He has given to us from that we possess today. And believer, let us stand into our blessings and stand into the possessions that we have received from our loving and gracious Father. Now, we read in Revelation 5 just now, and one of the blessings of verse 10 is that we have been given the grace by God of being made, as the Lord says, kings and priests unto God. Kings and priests unto God? We don't deserve anything of the mercies and the blessings of the Lord, and yet He has crowned us with the blessing of redemption. He has given us eternal life. We know our sins are forgiven. We will be in glory forever. But the Lord has exalted us and lifted us to a high place. In God's eyes, every single believer is a king. Every single believer is a priest to the Lord. And that is a great, humbling blessing that we acknowledge today. Believer, know your standing in the Lord. Know your Bible possessions and receive them joyfully. Receive them heartily and stand into them and be thankful to God for all that you have. As we glorify our Lord Jesus, as we think about the Lamb exalted who is worthy of all praise that we can possibly give, and so much more. So we are thankful today for His loving kindness and His mercy and His great grace to each one of us. May God bless His word as we have read today. Well, you're here, and we're very thankful that you're here this morning in the house of God. And you may be visiting with us for the very first time. Maybe you've come back to have fellowship with us once more. Well, you're very welcome. We're happy you're here. And those folks who are viewing online today, maybe it's the first time you have connected. And we're thankful and welcome you. And there was an email that will come up on your screen a little bit later on in the meeting. And if you would like to send us an email, we'd be happy to pray for you. If you have some specific prayer request, you can just email us and we'll be able to be in touch with you and make a contact. We'd love to hear from you as well. We certainly welcome Reverend Ryan McKee. It's been a blessing to share in the messages and the services in our Port Hope congregation over this past week. They are remembering their 28th anniversary, and our brother was invited over to speak for this week. And if you would like to get those services or watch them again, you would find them on Facebook, and you could go there under the Port Hope Free Church, and they are there. You can download them and listen to them if you would like to do that. And so we're very happy. Our brother, who is the pastor of that congregation in Macrofelt, Northern Ireland, he'll be bringing the word to us today, this morning, and tonight. And he'll also be ministering in song in the evening service tonight as well. So we look forward to that. Let me ask you to pray for some important things. I mentioned in the opening prayer, our sister Carol Conroy. Now, some of you will not know her. She's not a member of our church, but she is the wife of Brother Ray Conroy, who's the custodian in our school. And we have had long standing relationship with this family and godly people. And our sister suffered a heart attack this past week and will be going through open heart surgery tomorrow morning in the will of the Lord. And so I know that they would greatly appreciate your prayers. Please also continue to remember Rebecca Chandler as she is in the hospital and needing God's prayers. And also our sister Joan McKercher. Joan is not well today, and I think, Joan, hopefully you're listening online. We want you to know we're praying for you as well. Do also remember our sister Leah Simman. Leah is going to be facing surgery. She has an eye problem that's very serious, and we're asking for prayer for our sister that she will just know the peace and the comfort of the Lord during this time of her need. We don't want to forget to pray for the persecuted Church of Christ across the world. Some have been taken captive, like those missionaries in Haiti. Others in other parts of the world are in prison or they're being held captive for their faith. We want to pray for them. Pray that God will bless them and make them a witness before their captors. And praying also for the church in China, in North Korea, in Islamic countries, in Hindu countries, in Buddhist places that are not enjoying the liberty that we have today. We pray for them, that God would help them. Do please remember some ministry going on here today and also this incoming week. This afternoon, our prayer time at 5:50, and then the evening service at 6:30. Also, please remember this coming Wednesday night will be our midweek Bible study and prayer time. We're going to be continuing our study, Lord willing, in the book of Acts. And for those of you who attend, and we hope that you all do, we have a quiz prepared for you this coming Wednesday on Acts chapter 19 and 20. So if you'd like to be a part of that, you read up those chapters, there'll be a review for you, and we'll ask you some questions on that. Next Lord's Day, we will be recognizing Remembrance Lord's Day in the morning service, and then also there will be communion time around the Lord's table after the morning service next Lord's Day. Now, if you would like to worship the Lord with your tithes and your offerings, there is a plate on the table as you leave today, and you could leave your offering there. We're going to sing again to the Lord's honor. This one is not in your, well, it's on the screen behind you, it's not in my hymn book. The Bible Stands. I was speaking with Jennifer this past week, and she was reminding me how this chorus was a blessing to her. We have been speaking about this, and I thought, well, let's sing this this morning. And boys and girls, well, this is something for you, because you'll remember this one from your time in Sunday school. And I think there's a few old timers around here that'll look back to your Sunday school days, and you might remember it as well. So what we're going to do is ask the instruments to play through the tune once to be sure you get it, and watch the words of the opening verse. and then we will stand and sing this together. It's great theology we have in this chorus, and there's good reason for us to thank God for the Word and to be able to stand and sing today. We stand upon the solid ground of God's infinite, unchangeable, unerring Word of God, and we praise Him for it. Let's stand as we worship Him. I don't know about you, but I'm tired out after singing that one. That is a good chorus, and when you sing it with all your heart, and I know it's hard to sing it with your mask on. I realize that. It's very tough. It's sometimes hard to get your breath. But nonetheless, we praise God for all He has done for us and given us His holy truth. It will stand forever. I like what it said in there. Whatever attacks have been brought against the Word, and the devil's brought many, and he's brought many doubts. He says, yea, has God said this? Well, whatever doubting the devil places in your mind, believer, always face that with the sure foundation. What God has spoken, what He has said, it's true. It will never fail. And we can stand confidently upon His holy word. Well, we're very happy, and we want to welcome Reverend Ryan McKee to our pulpit this morning. Our brother has been here in the past. He has spoken for us. We've enjoyed his fellowship, enjoyed the messages that he brought this past week in Port Hope. I encourage you to get those. And we want to pray for him. He's the pastor of Makrefelt, Calvary Free Presbyterian Church in Makrefelt. And he has been there for 3 years now. And we thank God for him, for his witness, his testimony, and his ministry of the word. And brother, we want to pray. We pray for you now. Come on along. Don't forget to turn that microphone switch on. And we pray the Lord would bless you as you bring the word today.
Well, good morning. And I want to say a thank you to your minister for the kind words of invitation. And welcome to your congregation here in Toronto. And it's lovely to renew fellowship with some of you, to meet some of you for the first time. And certainly it's a privilege to be here. And our desire this morning is that we would hear the voice of the Lord as we open his precious word. I couldn't have picked a more appropriate hymn or chorus to sing before I preach, as you will see in a few moments, as we open the word of God. So therefore, we rejoice in that and take that as a seed from the Lord. And we just pray the Lord will bless his word as we open now to Psalm number 19. Psalm number 19. And we do bring your greetings from our congregation in Mockerfeld. And we certainly will be remembering you in prayer. And we thank you for your prayers for us also. Psalm 19, and commencing to read at verse number 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Amen. Let's just unite our hearts together in prayer. Let's seek God's face. Our loving Father in heaven, we thank thee once again for the privilege of being found in the house of God with the people of God and having the word of God in our hands. We realize this is a living word. And we thank thee and praise thee, O Lord, that thou dost still speak through thy word. And we thank thee for the words that we've been singing. The Bible stands. We thank thee for the promises of God that this word shall not, cannot pass away. It is forever settled in heaven. And we thank thee, Lord, that we can place our faith upon the Christ that is revealed in this word. He is our solid foundation. He is our eternal Savior. He is our loving shepherd and closest friend. And we rejoice for all who know Christ as Lord and Savior through faith in his finished work at Calvary. And Lord, we pray you'll bless God's people this morning. May there be a word in season for each waiting heart. And if there's one in this gathering who does not yet know Christ as Savior, that even today the Holy Spirit will work in their heart show them the awfulness of their sin, the urgency of putting their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and repenting from that sin. Oh Lord, show them something of the beauty of Christ today. Empty me of self and sin, I pray. Fill me with thy Spirit, O Lord, I plead. And may the Lord be glorified in what we say in the rest of this meeting. For these things we ask and pray in faith believing in the name of our Saviour. Amen and amen. The watchword of the Protestant Reformation was sola scriptura, by Scripture alone. And it was through the reading of the Scriptures, specifically in that verse, "The just shall live by faith," that Martin Luther was brought to consider for the first time that acceptance before God was not based on what he could do. And he had done many things to try and find peace with God and to try and earn his salvation. But the Lord showed to him it was rather by faith in the work that Christ had done. We do not earn our salvation. Christ has purchased it for us. And we simply rest by faith in the work that Christ has done for sinners in the shedding of his blood. And of course, that is detailed for us in the Word of God. For me, the words of Romans chapter 10, verse 17, perfectly sum up why the Reformation was needed. And it says, "So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." And God has ordained that the Lord would use human instruments and take us up and use us through the preaching of his word. No man, woman, boy or girl was ever saved by the wisdom of man. They were saved because of the sharing, the preaching, the reading of the Word of God. You know, during his exile following the Diet of Worms, and Martin Luther worked on translating the New Testament into German, and it was published in 1522. So during that year, 1521, 500 years ago, Martin Luther was working on having a translation that could be placed into the hands of the German people so they could read the Word of God in their own language. By 1525, Tyndale had produced the first New Testament in the English language. Prior to that, the Scriptures were in Latin. They were the possession only of the church. They were only to be read by the ministers of the church, and as such, there was no knowledge truly of what God's word held. And it's rightly called the Dark Ages, because there was no light shining out. We rejoice that there were remnants here and there, but on the whole, our nation in the United Kingdom certainly was dark, because there was no gospel light shining forth. Whenever the word of God was produced, and people started to read for the first time with their own eyes, in their own language, the Word of God, it highlighted the errors and the blasphemies and the abuses of the church. It revealed the fact that the majority of men standing in pulpits were there for personal gain, for position, for power, for wealth, and for all that they could get through being in the job of standing in a pulpit in church. Such was the anger against the Scriptures being brought to the common people in their own language that William Tyndale was strangled and burned at the stake in 1536. And I think we often forget, as we lift our Bibles, we owe a debt of gratitude, an eternity of gratitude, to such men who literally gave their lives and risked life that they might bring the Word of God in our mother tongue. In fact, even in 1517, we read in England of seven people burned at the stake by the church. Their crime? Teaching the Lord's Prayer to their children in English rather than the Latin Scriptures of the day. God's Word enlightens. God's Word transforms. God's Word exposes. God's Word guides. God's Word builds. God speaks through his Word. And what we need in 2021 in Canada, in Northern Ireland and throughout our world is not new ideas, not people-pleasing entertainment, but rather what we need is to get back to the preaching of the Word of God. Simply preaching, thus saith the Lord. And that indeed is the most powerful thing a preacher can say, thus saith the Lord, and then turn people to the Word. And also, I believe we need to get back to realization as the people of God just how precious this book is. How precious it is. On June the 2nd, 1953, at her coronation, our Queen was given into her hands a Bible. And the person officiating at that moment said, "Our gracious Queen, we present you with this book, the most valuable thing that this world affords. Here is wisdom. Here is the royal law. These are the lively oracles of God." I wonder, at the next coronation, if we live to see it, will such a statement be made? A woman who had wealth beyond compare could put her hands on some of the most costly jewels of the nation. But it was the Bible that was highlighted that day as the most precious thing she could hold in her hands. And how true that is, because, dear believer, it presents to us our Saviour, His promises, His Word. We receive power as we rest upon this Word and pray the promises of the Word. Dear unsaved person in this meeting today, this is your only hope of salvation, because it presents the only Saviour of sinners. Now, we have come to Psalm 19. And in Psalm 19, we have highlighted for us the importance and the beauty and the preciousness of the Word of God. But let me just give you an overview as we come to look at this psalm. In verses number 1 down to verse number 6, we have creation declaring the glory of God. From verse 7 down to verse number 10, we have God's Word, or the Bible, declaring the glory of God. And then in verses 11 down to verse number 14, we have a prayer that the psalmist himself would in his life declare the glory of God. Creation, the Bible, and the believer all said to be declaring the glory of God. What does it mean to declare the glory of God? What does it mean to declare His glory? Well, something or someone that glorifies God does not add to His glory. They do not add to who God is, because God is absolute in His essence. He cannot gain from another. But to glorify God means to show or to reflect or to declare His glory. And this is exactly what Psalm 19 is speaking to us about. So firstly, let's consider creation declaring the glory of God. It says in verse number 1, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork." God's glory is seen in His creation. His greatness is seen in His creation. You know what I love about the Word of God? In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." The Bible doesn't seek to explain God. The Bible declares God. Because God is. He is the Eternal One. He was there at the beginning of time, at the beginning of the very world in which we are occupying today. In the beginning, God. And our duty as preachers and as believers is to declare the Word of God. There's so much that, humanly speaking, we cannot explain. So much of it is beyond our human comprehension. But God has given us His Word to declare Himself to us. And His message has been given to us faithfully, and our responsibility is to declare it as the Lord has given it to us. Creation points to a Creator. And within the heart of man, there is an awareness of the Creator God. And we find that in Romans chapter 1. Man is without excuse. Now, I know today there are those who will profess to be atheists. or agnostics or evolutionism. They certainly will present different arguments and different theories that seems to explain God away. But the reality is, that does not take away their responsibility before God. All will stand before God. Those who have preached against him, those who have lived against him, those who have sought to present various theories to take the place of God. Why do people search for some other explanation as to why we're here today? Well, the reason's very simple. There are so many different theories and arguments as to where this world came from, where human life evolved from, etc. So many different things, because every single argument takes away your Creator. And if there's no Creator, then there's no responsibility. We're not responsible to anyone. We're not accountable to anyone. But the Bible says here that creation declares the glory of God. It's a universal declaration. Day unto day, verse number 2, uttereth speech. Night unto night showeth knowledge. There's no time in our world, in our lifetime, in our day, when God is not declaring that he is the Creator. In the beauty of the day and the sunshine, we see the trees and the mountains, the animals. We see the beauty of the landscape. Even at night time, we look up, we see the moon and the stars and the majesty of the heavens that are above us. God is always speaking. There is no language barrier either, because it says in verse 3, there is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. You don't have to be able to speak a certain language to understand what God is saying, that he is. And therefore, all excuses are taken away. The original scripture reads, the heavens are declaring. It's a continuous action. There's no moment when there is not a testimony to who God is. You know, whenever, especially I should say, during the 1800s, whenever missionaries and many hundreds of missionaries left England to go across the world to take the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And often when they came to parts of the world that had not yet received the gospel, they found people engaging in worship. People engaging in worship. Now, of course, their worship was wrong because they did not know God. They had not the scriptures. But they knew that there was a Creator. And in some crude way or some way of their imagination, they sought to try and please the God that had created them, that life would be a blessing to them. And as I thought about this truth, the heavens declare the glory of God. God's creation, nature declares that there is a God. How much more should you and I, dear believer, made in the image of God, redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord, filled with the Holy Spirit of God, how much more should our lives declare that there is a God? It should be that by looking at our conduct, our lives being a reflection of our Savior, that people should know that there is a God. He truly saves his people, and he truly satisfies his people. We think of Moses. Moses spent time in the presence of God, and we read that when he came from the Lord's presence, his face shone. You cannot hide knowing your Savior in this intimate way. If you spend time with your Savior, you will declare him in your life. May that be true of us. This is our purpose. But whenever we come to the second part of this psalm, and we can only touch on these topics for a few moments because of time, but certainly when we come to the second part, which is the main part I want to lay before you, here we find God's word declares the glory of God. From verse number 7 down to verse number 11, we have various descriptions of the word of God. I do have to say this, that God is only partly revealed in creation. We know that he exists. We know that he is. We know that he is a creator. But we cannot, through creation, know God. It is only through the scriptures that we can know God through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. God is partially revealed in scripture, or partially revealed in creation, but fully revealed in scripture. And I would also say that God has given his amen and blessing to this canon of Scripture. We don't need to search for extra things that are outside the Word of God to learn something more about God. What God wants us to know, He has provided. And we rejoice His hand of protection has been upon this Word from it was given. So in verses 7 through to verse 9, we read six attributes and descriptions of the Word of the Lord. So, for example, in verse number 7, the first description of the Bible is the law of the Lord. And that's another way we can refer to the book that we hold in our hands this morning. The law of the Lord is perfect. Now, the law is contained in God's Word. And we can think of the law or the truth of God's Word as a ruler by which we can measure ourselves, because the Bible tells us that all have come sin and come short of the glory of God. And when we come to God's Word, we often find that we do not measure up to the standard that God calls us to live by. And certainly for the unsaved, whenever we look at the fact that it's God's holiness and God's righteousness that is only acceptable before Him, we realize there's no hope of us being in heaven. There's no hope of us pleasing God. There's no hope in and of ourselves of doing anything that will bring glory to God or will earn our salvation. And therefore, as we come to the law of the Lord, in that aspect, it shows our sinfulness. Why? Because it reveals the One who is perfect and holy. Why do many people not want to come to church today? Because they know that when the Word of God is opened and when it is faithfully preached, they will feel their sinfulness. They will feel uncomfortable because they know that they do not stand right before God. Therefore, they stay away and try and put it out of their mind. Try and ease their mind. But whenever we open God's Word, we realize that we stand in the sin in which we were born, because we stand before a holy God. The word perfect, by the way, means entire or complete. This is the perfect law of God. And three times in Scripture, there is a warning given against adding to or taking away from the Word of God. It's not our word to tamper with, it's God's word to declare. And here's one of the things that God's word does. Look at verse number 7, converting the soul. And the word converting means to turn away. And therefore, as people read and receive the Word of God, the soul is turned from sin onto the Savior. It is not the wise words of men. It's not the arguments of a preacher, but rather it's the Word of God. Therefore, if you have people in your family who are not saved, people in your neighborhood who are not saved, friends whom you work with that are not saved, get them under the preaching of the Word of God. Because through the preaching God's word, they may come to know Christ. John 8:32, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We read in verse number 7, the second description of the word of God. This time it's called the testimony of the Lord. The testimony of the Lord is sure. Now, a testimony or a witness is something that speaks of experience. So whenever a witness stands in the court, he is there to declare what he knows, what he is sure of. And the witness or the testimony of the Lord is sure. And the word sure is an interesting word in the Hebrew, because it's from a root word which means to build up or to support as a parent or a nurse. And that's a lovely picture of the Word of God, because once we are converted by the law of God, then we are built up also by the same word through which we came to know Christ. And the Lord tenderly, as a nurse would a child, the Lord tenderly guides us and leads us in those early days of faith. We're brought to know what is right and what is wrong, what brings glory to the Lord, what grieves the Spirit of God. And that reminds me that to be built up in this world as a believer, we have to ignore and silence many of the voices that are speaking to us today, and always come back to the most important voice, and that is the voice of God speaking through His precious word. Because in this book we have that which is firm and faithful, that which can be trusted in, that which can be believed in. And we're living in a world today with so many voices telling you how to have a good marriage, telling you how to raise your children, telling you how to get by and be successful in this life. But above all the voices of this world, I rejoice that there is an everlasting voice, one that cannot be silenced, one that speaks truth, and that truth will build you up in your faith. And that's exactly what it describes there in verse number 7. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Making wise the simple. You see, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. And true wisdom is not how much knowledge of this world you can gain. Although we don't despise knowledge, by the way. We're thankful for those whom the Lord has gifted in that way. But true knowledge is how much spiritual understanding you can glean from the Word of God. And the reality is, a child of 7, 8, 9 years who is saved and reads the Bible and believes the Bible and obeys the Bible has more true wisdom than an unsaved man with a string of degrees after his name. Because that child has come to know Christ as Savior and is honoring him, seeking first the kingdom of God. The Word of God makes us wise. You know, there are times in life when we're not sure of what we ought to do, the direction we ought to go. We maybe want guidance in life. God's Word is that very thing that God will use to give us wisdom to know how to live. Verse number 8, we have the third and the fourth description of the Word of God. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The word right there literally means straight. The statutes of the Lord are straight. And in this instance, the Word of God is that which has been given to put us on the straight way, to help us to walk in God's way, the straight and the narrow way. And whenever we live our lives by the Word of God and yield to the commands of God contained in the Word, we will be found walking in that manner, in the straight way, in the way that is righteous, in God's way. Not in bypath meadow, not to the left or to the right, but simply walking in a straight line on the path that God has called us to be on. And what's the result of someone who is living a life in obedience to the Word of God? Walking in the center of the will of God, walking in the paths of righteousness. Well, it says there, it rejoicing the heart. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. And the Lord does rejoice the heart of his people. And the most blessed and joyful and glad person in this world today is the believer who is walking with the Lord. The believer who's walking in the center of the will of the Lord. I would stop there and ask you, dear Christian, is there joy in your heart today? Are you glad that you're in the house of God? Does it rejoice you to sing the hymns that we were singing? Has your heart been warmed and blessed today? Or is the reality that you're not where you ought to be with God? You're cold. You've wandered away. And you've lost the joy. Oh, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Jeremiah said, "Thy word unto me was the joy and the rejoicing of mine heart." What a blessing it is when God speaks to us through his word and we are obedient to it, and then the blessing of the joy of obedience. I think of the two on the road to Emmaus. They were walking there and they were discouraged. They were despondent. Why? Because they did not understand what had happened in Jerusalem. They did not understand that the death of the Lord Jesus Christ was necessary. In fact, it was the greatest event that has ever took place in this world, where Christ dealt with the sins of his people on the cross. They thought that the one whom they were trusting has now gone. And the faith that they were following was now finished. and they were discouraged and discussing among themselves. But the Lord came. And what did the Lord do? He opened unto them the scriptures. And beginning with Moses and the prophets, he showed them the things concerning himself out of scripture. And what was their testimony later on that very day? Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the wayside? Oh, what a blessing there is when God speaks to us through his word. Whenever I was training to be a primary school teacher, which is what I was before I came into Bible college, I was at teacher training college, and during my third and fourth year, the Lord started to work in my heart about coming into full-time Christian ministry. I hadn't thought about it ever as a child or as a teenager, and humanly speaking, there was no major desire to go down that route, but the Lord had started to speak to me, and it was through the words of Matthew chapter 9, verses 37 and 38, where the Lord spoke to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will call forth laborers into his harvest." And it seemed to be for a few weeks and months that every service I went to, some preacher mentioned those verses just off the cuff. They really didn't have anything to do with the lesson or the theme of the message, but he seemed to mention them. Remember, I bought a gospel CD of Christian music, and I put it into the car, and I was driving along. You know what one of the opening lines of one of the songs was? "The fields are white on the harvest." I bought a book. I remember not long after that, I opened it up, and the second page, "The harvest fields." And you would think by that stage, I would be aware that the Lord was speaking to me. But I was doubting, and I was doubting. And I remember one time I went to a bookshop in Belfast, a Christian bookshop, in Belfast, I was buying a card. And I paid the money at the till, and I got a till receipt. And whenever I left, I came out onto the Temple Moor Avenue in Belfast and looked down at my till receipt. And I've got it here. And it is dated the 7th of June 2004. And at the bottom of the till receipt is printed, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few." Matthew chapter 9, verse 37. And I can tell you, I stopped that day, and I remember where I was standing, and I just said, "God is calling me. God is calling me." It was his word that called me. And I went back to my student accommodation, got down on my knees beside my bed, and said, "Lord, if I am able to be used in thy service, I'm willing to be used." It was that verse, a number of years later, 3 years later, in fact, after I taught for 3 years, that the Lord used once again to show me this is the time to come in to Bible college. And I'm so thankful that many times in my ministry, it's been that verse, those verses, Matthew 9, 37, 38, that the Lord has often given to me at times of ministry, making decisions, seeking guidance. The Lord has brought these verses to me to lead me in the way in which I ought to go. There is no greater joy than the Word of God being revealed to your heart and teaching you the way in which you ought to go. In fact, the very morning I was going to Bible college for my interview, I was reading my Bible reading notes and learned a great lesson. You do not read your Bible reading notes for direction. You read the Bible. And I read the Bible reading notes, and there was nothing about leading, guiding, direction, any of those things. And then it said, for the reading that day, read John's Gospel, chapter 4. And in the morning of my interview for Bible college, these were the words that I read. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look unto the fields, for they are white already to harvest. That morning. And I remember I cried that morning with joy because the Lord had just confirmed to me that was the step that I was to take. We need to be in the Word of God. There is no joy for the believer trying to live outside the confines, the instructions, the statutes of the Word of God. Oh, but there's great joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory when you know the Lord, you know the Word, and you obey the Word. Moving quickly along, the commandment of the Lord is pure. Verse number 8. It's described as pure. The word of the Lord reveals what is pure. It reveals what is clean. How we can live a clean life in this wicked world today. And Philippians chapter 4 reminds us of how to keep our minds clean and pure those things that are holy, those things that are true, those things that are lovely. Keep your mind or think on those things. And that is so important in our world today. We need to keep in the Word of God, to have the cleansing of the washing of the water of the Word, cleansing our minds. We hear so much. We don't go out to hear it, but we hear it as we walk down the street, as we ride on the buses, as we go to the shops. There's different things playing, there's different people talking, and we hear all this information, much of it's unclean. But we can come to the Word of God. And look what it says in that passage. It's not only pure, but it enlightens the eyes, because it gives us a clear vision of God, of our Savior. It gives us a true vision of who we truly are. It gives us a true vision of what this world truly is, of how wicked this world is. It gives us a true picture of the sinner and their need for a Savior. If you want to get a burden to reach souls for Christ, read the Word of God. And we lose our spiritual vision when we turn away from the Word. We lose our spiritual vision when we neglect to read the Bible. And that's why we ought to read it on a daily basis. That's why we ought to be often at this book, because it's God's Word, the entrance of that Word, that will give us light. This Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Verse number 9. We have another description of the Word of God. It is, the fear of the Lord is clean. And the word clean there could actually also be translated from the Hebrew as fair. Something that is beautiful. Something that is pleasing to look at. And it is true that we are to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And whenever we obey the Word of God, there will be that spiritual beauty about our lives. Oh yes, the world may mock and scoff. The world may make fun of the Christian who is seeking to live by the Word of God. But we're not so much concerned about the world as we are concerned about the Lord and how He views us. And our prayer is that the Lord would see something of beauty in our lives as we live for Him. And that can be done through the power of the Spirit of God as we obey the Word. And may it be that we stand out in this wicked world as wonderful, beautiful, bright, light testimonies that show forth Christ. It says the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. Men have tried to burn the Bible. Governments have tried to ban the Bible. Critics have tried to silence the Bible. And yet they're lying in their graves today. And I still hold the Word of God. God has preserved it. God has put His protection upon it. Isaiah 40 verse 8, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the Word of our God will stand forever. No one has fought against God and prospered. No one has sought to make a fool of God and prospered in this life. God's Word endures forever. And those who are resting on the Christ of the Word will also live forever with Him in glory. We read also about the judgments of the Lord in verse number 9. They are true and righteous altogether. This is speaking of the certainty, of the trustworthiness, of the rightness of the Word of God. And what's interesting is that as we have read down through these different attributes and descriptions of the Word of God from verse 7 down to verse 9, we have not just read a description of the Word of God. We have also read a description of the Son of God. Because what is true of the Lord is also true of His Word. Because we can look down verse 7. The Lord is perfect. The Lord is sure. Verse number 8. The Lord is right. The Lord is pure. Verse number 9. The Lord is clean. The Lord is true and righteous altogether. And then we could go down those other descriptions of what the Word does. That's exactly what the Lord does. He converts the soul. He makes wise the simple. He rejoices the heart. He enlightens the eyes. He endures forever. And our brother read of a glimpse of heaven this morning from Revelation chapter 5. And in Revelation chapter 19, we see the Lord, the one who is called faithful and true, and we read that He was robed in a vesture dripped in blood, and His name was the Word of God. This Word is all of Christ, from beginning to end. This morning we hold in our hands the revelation of God to man. In verses 10 and 11, we're told what it ought to mean to the believer. It's to be desired more than gold. Maybe, dear believer, you get up in the morning early, you go to bed late at night, and you labor for worldly riches. God's word should be more precious to you than your bank account. Because it has saved your soul. The truths of Scripture have saved you. Money cannot buy such a blessing. Other people today, they've got it the wrong way around. They think the more money I have, the more blessed I'll be. That's not true. The more you have of the Word of God, the more obedient you are, the more blessed you will be. It talks about honey. It's to be desired more than honey. That speaks of pleasure, of fulfillment, of the food. And we know that we eat for sustenance and we eat for pleasure and all of those things. But more than even the physical, we need the spiritual food of the Word of God. It talks about being our guide. Verse 11, moreover, by them as thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. There is great reward for the people who keep the Word of God. It's a precious word. It's a personal word. It's a powerful word. But unless you open this book, it will not make an impact in your life. Final thought is this. The psalmist has been looking at the beauty of God's creation, the perfection of the Word of God. And he comes to pray, and we're just skipping down here to verse number 14. He prays this prayer, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength. My Redeemer. Here's a personal prayer. Nature declares there is a God. Scriptures declare how to know this God. Lord, may my life declare the glory of God. Is that your prayer today? You'll notice something very interesting about this prayer. He didn't say, may what I do bring glory to you, O Lord. But he prayed that his actions, his outward works, for example, the words of his mouth and the inward. He wanted his heart to be right. Because when your heart is right before God, then the outward actions will also be right. And holiness, living a life declares God's glory, starts in the heart. It can't be acted. It can't be played out. Oh yes, for a little while you might fool some people. But true holiness starts in the heart. And it will be shown with a love for the things that Christ loves. A love for the things that Christ loves. What does Christ love? He loves the lost. And the closer you are to Christ, the greater your love for the unsaved will be. He loves the young believers. He talked about the children suffering, the little children to come on to him. And sometimes in churches, and I know this is not the case here in Toronto, by the way, but sometimes in churches, people look upon children as a nuisance. They make a noise in church or they cry and somebody looks at them with a sharp look as much, why is your child here? I praise God if I hear a child crying in church. It means there's children there. It means children are under the sound of the Word of God. May that ever be the case. The Lord loved the place of prayer. He gathered together with his disciples to pray. Dear believer, is there a love in your heart, a hunger in your heart for the place of prayer? That's a sign of a heart that's given over to the Lord. And this is a prayer that David's walk will be acceptable before God, inwardly and outwardly. He desired a fear of God, not of man. He was concerned with God's judgment and God's approval, not man's. He didn't seek praise or reward down here. He didn't seek it here. And I remember of a missionary coming home from the United States and reading about this, and he spent many, many years in Africa. He came home in a steam liner, and there was some celebrity on that boat. And whenever they docked in New York, there were thousands gathered to greet this celebrity as they came down the gangway. And the missionary had one person to drive him to the hotel where he was staying. He got down on his knees and he said, Lord, there was nobody for me. Thousands for someone of the world. Lord, I've given you these past 40 years. There was no reward for me. And he writes in his diary that it was as if the Lord spoke to him, the audible voice, you're not home yet. You're not home yet, child. Don't seek the approval of a world that does not know Christ, but seek first the kingdom of God. His well done is of more value than the applause of this world. And my final thought is this. Is it possible to live a life that glorifies God? Is it really possible? Is it possible in the society in which we live? Is it possible in October 2021? Really? Praise God it is. You know how I know? Because it says in verse number 14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength. And the prayer is, I can't do this alone, Lord. I am praying that your strength will equip me to live a life that brings glory unto you. Not only did he say my strength, he said my Redeemer, because the reality is you can't glorify God until first Christ is your Redeemer. He must be your Savior. And therefore, if you're not saved this morning, don't leave this place thinking, right, well, I need to go out and live better to please God, because you cannot. You first must come and ask Christ to be your Savior. Ask him to forgive your sin, to deal with the debt of your sin, to deal with the guilt of your sin, to cleanse you from the record of your sin and save you from the consequences of your sin. And that is possible when a sinner calls upon the name of the Lord. Lord, save me. You will be saved. That's your first step. And then you can join with David in this prayer. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in my sight. O Lord, my strength, my Redeemer. May God grant it to be so. But that's our testimony. Living a life, bringing glory to God. Let's pray. Our loving and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank thee and we praise thee for the living word of the living God. Lord, we would dare not stand before a congregation this morning and seek to bring any help with the wisdom of man. But we come with the words of heaven, the words that thou wast given, the words that thou wast blessed, the words that thou wast preserved. And praise God, the words that thou hast used over the centuries to bring men and women, boys and girls, to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And our prayer is today that those who are not yet saved would come to Christ the Savior. And those who are would join in this prayer of David, that, Lord, you would deal with our hearts and you would deal with our actions. And in thy strength we would live lives that would bring glory to thee. Lives of blessing. Lives of great joy, knowing that as we serve thee, O Lord, thou wilt bless us. Forgive us, O Lord, for the times we've thought of the things of God to be a drudgery. O Lord, we are so richly blessed today to be able to come to a place like this, to worship with the people whom thou hast saved, and Lord, to grow together, to worship together, to serve together, to travel home together. And our prayer is that this church will ever, in its existence, until the Lord calls us home, bring glory to God. Grant it to be so, we pray. Thank you, Lord, for all that thou hast done for us, and may what has been of thee live on and prosper today. And what's made of man, let it fall to the ground and perish. We ask in Jesus' name and for his glory alone. Amen.